This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. As we get ready for later in the week, the blue-white game. Last night, the national championship game in men's basketball. This opening half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll take care of your insurance needs, save you money wherever they can, whether it's going over state lines, whether it's bundles. They'll figure it out because customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I don't know whether he's one street up from me or not right now. I'd have to find out. That would be one of my neighbors, Mark Brennan. Sir, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be here, Steve, and I think the recycling truck's about to go by, so if you hear some rattling out there, there may be some bottles clinging and stuff, you'll know I'm in your neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly, because they already hit my street. So, Mark, what have you learned to this point about Penn State football between people you've talked to and also the opportunities you've had to see practice?
I just think the depth that we're seeing the last couple of years, Steve, has been unbelievable. I mean, when you look at what Penn State has lost to the NFL draft at key positions, you know, take defensive end. And, you know, they obviously are going to have a first rounder in Chop, and I think Adisa did an unbelievable job for himself at the combine and pro day. But then you look at what's coming back, and it's like, you know, whoa. I mean, you add Abdul Carter to it. Deny Dennis Sutton was effectively a starter last year. Zariah Fisher, everything we're hearing is he's been one of the real standouts. Amin Vanover's played a lot. Jameel Lyons is turning heads. Smith Vilbert's back in the mix. Jalen Harvey. I mean, that's so when you talk about depth, you're losing really good players to the NFL, and I think that's going to be one of the good things for Tom Allen. It's a similar situation at cornerback where, you know, you lose three guys. I think all are going to have a really good shot to play in the NFL. Daquan Hardy maybe as a special teams type guy. Mm-hmm. But you look at what they're bringing back and what they how they were able to supplement through the transfer portal with A.J. Harris and Kimber. And it's just like, wow. I mean, that's the one thing I think is – I think offensive tackle is another position. You know, they lose their two starting tackles, and then you look at what they have coming back, even without Drew Shelton. He's been banged up. But you look at Donko. You look at Ono. I mean, you look at Javon Williams. You bring Nolan Rucci in there. I mean, I know I'm throwing a lot of names out, but it wasn't that long ago that they didn't have this kind of quality depth. And I just think when you're a team that wants to fight for to be in that playoff, which is going to be expanded now, and wants to fight to be a Big Ten champion, which is expanded now, and wants to be involved in all these things, quality depth is key, and I think they have it.
So you talked about what Tom Allen's doing defensively, and you mentioned Carter going to defensive end. I think a lot of people pretty much know how Tom likes to play because they've seen it year after year. But what about Andy Koltunicki? What have you learned on that side of the ball as to how he wants to play based on the personnel he has at Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, just from an X's and O's perspective, you know, what Drew Aller has told us is they're doing a lot more quick things right before and right after the snap. It sounded almost as if they thought they were maybe getting a little bit stale last year and people were figuring out what they were going to do. But the thing that has stood out to me about Andy, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but listen, when an offensive coordinator is fired during the season, is let go during the season, that's a pretty good indication that there was a lack of communication kind of all around. And everything we're hearing about Andy and everything we get in talking to Andy, this guy is an unbelievable communicator. And I think that's half the battle as a coach. You know, one thing that Drew Aller said when we had a chance to talk to him during winter workouts, two things he said. One was that Kotelniki would hit them with pop quizzes, the quarterbacks, just out of nowhere in Lash Building. So that's like, okay, he wants to keep the communication flowing. But the other thing, Steve, that really stood out to me, he said Andy Kotelniki would go to the quarterbacks and other players and say, hey, what do you think is going to work? What right. do you like? And then, now he didn't take every one of those ideas and implement it, but he listened. He was a sounding board, and he could then explain, okay, well, maybe that's, we could use this element of that, or maybe this is why this doesn't work. But to me, that's huge. And then I think you just see his dynamic in practice, where he's in the middle of everything. And I know you're at more practices than I am, but listen, for people who haven't been to football practice, I don't want to shock you, but you may hear some profanity every once in a while. And this guy is dropping F-bombs left and right. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean in a motivational type way. And he's in the middle of drills, whacking people with pads, and he's yelling at the running backs. And he's and I don't think we saw that with Mike Yurcich as much. I don't think we saw the interaction. So to me, Steve, as much as X's and O's are going to be important, I think that level of communication is we've already seen it, and I think it's only going to get better and better and better.
They're swearing in practice. Okay.
A little bit. Well, you know, Steve, you know that there are some people who might hear that and be a little bit offended, but for somebody like me, obviously, it's not really a problem.
I told the story the other day. I'll tell you. Back when Bill O'Brien came in, you know, like Joe didn't swear. Okay.
Right.
Just that's, you know, and that was Joe's standard, and he didn't do it. So Bill O'Brien, of course, was, you know, and is, you know, great guy, but at the same time, should be pointed out that he would throw some colorful language out there. So one day they're at practice, and they did something wrong. He's mad. He starts throwing language out there, and then he looks over at me and he says, "If you don't like the swearing, you can leave." And I said, "No, I do basketball."
Right, exactly. You're courtside, or when you are courtside, not necessarily at the Jordan Center, but when you are courtside, you tend to hear a lot of that. So, yeah. Hey, there's a really funny story, Steve, if I could tell it. But it was with Craig Fitzgerald. You know, his first couple of years as Penn State strength coach. I think it was the first year, second year, and I got to know him really well because he went to high school with Keith Conlon, who I'm friends with.
Sure.
And he was so they did a workout that they allowed us to videotape, and there was a lot of profanity in that. And I said, "Hey, do you mind if I post this?" And he's like, no, go ahead. So I posted, and like one person complained about the profanity. So right. He calls me. He's like, "Oh, Mark, you know, maybe you should take that down." And I'm like, "Craig Fitz, I got to tell you, one person complained, 8,000 people are like, I love this guy." So I'm like, "Let me see if I can edit it a little bit." And we get off the phone, and 5 minutes later, he goes, "You know what, Mark? Bleep it. Just leave it up." And so that video is up there somewhere in cyberspace to this day.
The blue-white game will be the 15th practice. So this will be practice 12 today, 13 on Thursday, 14 Friday, then 15 Saturday. What, if anything, are you looking for in this, especially in the first half?
You know, I'm anxious, and I'm going to ask James about this today. I don't know if you have any insight on it, but, you know, he had mentioned earlier in the spring that this is going to be the first time in a while that they'll have enough players to actually have something resembling an actual game, you know, rather than modified type scrimmages they've been doing. And I would just love to see that. You know, I went and counted today because I was obviously had too much time on my hands, but, you know, 124 players on the roster right now. And a lot of that is owed to all the players who enrolled mid-year and the transfers who came in mid-year. That used to not be the case. I mean, you used to have a really depleted roster before this started to happen. So I think having, if they're able to have some kind of semblance of a game, I think that's going to be key. But otherwise, I think it's important to keep an eye on those young offensive linemen that I mentioned, and a guy like Cooper Cousins, who apparently, you know, is just tearing it up for a true freshman, which is unheard of for an early enrollee. And then over on defense, I think the positions that I was talking about, you know, when you lose so many players to the NFL, how are things going to shake down at defensive end, and how are they going to shake down at cornerback? You know, Tom Allen, he didn't have these problems at Indiana where – you know, you almost have too much talent at defensive end. You know, he told you know enough about his scheme out there where he had the two specialty positions, the Husky, which is now called the Lion, which is like a defensive back hybrid type thing, and then the Bull, which was a defensive end linebacker hybrid. So he explained the Husky / Lion to us when at the media availability, and I said, well, what about the Bull? Are you going to implement that? He goes, you know, we really don't have to, because the defensive ends here are athletic enough that they can do all the things that we were asking of that position, which includes dropping into coverage, moving all around, you know, a lot of different things that Manny Diaz did with the defensive end. But it just goes to show you the difference in talent level, and now some of the – his challenges are going to be much different now. Right. And fortunately, he has a very experienced staff, and you know, James Franklin has a very experienced defensive staff. You know what those guys on that side of the ball are like, even, including a guy like Deion Barnes, who's, you know, relatively young, but has been with the program for multiple years now, to help him make all those decisions.
Right, and it's interesting because that's what I find interesting about Abdul Carter. We saw how good Adisa Isaac was, and I think it's going to be a big benefit to him at the next level. When Penn State would run zone blitzes, because he knew how to drop into the right zone, the proper depth of a drop. Jack and I talked about it in the broadcast all the time. Having a guy that had been playing linebacker, now playing defensive end, I think allows you to keep that thought process in there.
Right. And then, Steve, it's a 250-pound guy. So you're not looking at – and that's where that hybrid thing came into play at Indiana, where that was probably going to be like a 225-pound guy.
Right,
and that's a whole different thing, because then they know what you're going to do. I mean, if you're bringing that guy in, you're probably going to drop him into coverage, right? Whereas with Abdul Carter, you don't know if he's coming off the edge. You don't know if he's dropping into coverage. You don't know what the heck he's doing. And he's not the only defensive end who's that athletic. I mean, I know I mentioned him earlier, but I am just telling people, you know, watch out for Jameel Lyons. You know, I don't know that he's going to be a starter this year, but I think that guy has big time written all over him. I mean, they have so much talent that I don't know that he's going to be a starter this year, but I think he's going to be really, really good as time goes by.
What kind of read have you had to this point on the quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to you're sensing a more of a comfort level, at least from Drew Aller. I haven't had a chance to talk to Bo, so I can't speak on what his kind of feel for things are. But in terms of Drew, you know, we had an opportunity to speak to him last week, I almost said last year, last week on a Zoom call. And I just think he just, the level of comfort and confidence he seems to have working with Andy Koldelnicki seems to be at a little bit different level than maybe it was with Yersich. And, you know, I'm hearing nothing but good things about Gronkemeyer. You know, obviously there's don't think we're going to see Smolik. You know, obviously I think there's some things going on there physically, but I think they're in a good spot. With, I guess the question is going to be, Steve, is, you know, are they going to be willing to use Bo as a change of pace type quarterback, which they did a little bit late last year. And I think if you go and you look at what Andy Kotelnicki has done in the past and the different types of quarterbacks he's been able to work with, I mean, that's one of the, well, I think that's one of his strengths, is that he's been very successful with multiple different kinds of quarterbacks, whether pure dropback or more mobile guys. And will it be a situation where he finds a way? I mean, that's one thing he said. He was asked specifically about Bo Perbula, and he'd spoken more general terms. And he's, you know, he said basically, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the quote right here in front of me.
Sure.
You know, if we think somebody could help us win, we're going to find a way to get them on the field. He said, if that means playing eight tailbacks, I'll play eight tailbacks. I mean, he was being facetious, obviously,
sure. Right.
But making the point that, so that's what I think is going to be interesting. I, you know, they're not going to tip their hand in the blue-white game to that sort of thing,
sure.
But I think when we get to fall camp and when we get to that season opener at West Virginia, how are they going to use Bo Perbula? Will they do it? Because he obviously brings a different skill set than Drew Aller.
All right, and the basketball season wrapped up last night. We are now into portal season and have been into portal season for a couple of weeks now. When you look at Penn State to this point, based on the season they had and the needs, especially in a league that's going to bring in four new schools, what's your thoughts on where Mike Rhodes is right now with the team?
Well, I think it was important to get the big guy from Xavier, obviously, you know, given who they lost. And, you know, they have another big guy coming in as a true freshman, but I think they still need to get, you know, a little bit more size. We saw last year, you know, what happened when you don't have enough big men. And one of them, you know, they were already a little bit, you know, not quite where they needed to be in terms of guys who can come in and make an impact. And then you know, Meech gets hurt, and now you're in a really difficult spot. And I think at VCU, you can get by with that. In the Big Ten, you can't. The big men are just way, way, way too good. And so I think developing depth there is going to be really important. You know, I think making sure that everybody else stays is very important,
sure,
as well. But to me, you know, making sure it's, I don't want to say it's easy to get smaller players who are really good, but I think it's easier than getting skilled big. So I think being able to get at least one more guy there would be really important for this team.
Right. Have you invested any time yet in the four schools coming in football and basketball, or is it just been a time where you're so locked in on what Penn State is currently doing that you'll file that for a little bit later?
Yeah, it's been tough, Steve. You know, and I'm to the point now where we're starting to make travel plans, and I'm just like dreading making those plans for USC. It's like, oh my God. You know, I used to think going to Wisconsin was bad. And now I have to figure out a way to get to USC and back in time to tape our TV show. So I just haven't been able to dive into that just yet. I think after spring practice is going to be a good time to do that. And, you know, obviously with those teams out there, I don't know. You had some major coaching shakeups with those teams, several of those teams. So I don't know. You know, you're not really going to be able to look back at last year, I don't think, and figure out, you know, what USC or what UCLA is going to be, or what Washington's going to be. So that's something I think after spring practice we'll dive into.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. You mentioned what you might talk to him about tonight in practice. Dev, do you know who you're getting besides James tonight?
We are getting Ty Howell. We are getting Terry Smith.
Oh.
And Dawkins. Yeah, so I think that's going to be cool to talk to Doc. You know, he's one guy, Steve, I want to give a shout out to, because, you know this because you're around the program. But from the time he was pretty young, people pointed to him as a leader in this program.
Yep.
And I think people who know what his dad was kind of all about understand where his personality comes from. I think a lot of it comes from his mom, too, who's an outgoing personality. But I just think it's a situation where I would keep an eye out for Nick Dawkins. I think he's, you know, kind of, they're sizing him up as a guy who's going to take over for Hunter Norzad I think Cooper Cousins will probably push him, but I just think the leadership skills and the personality and the glue guy stuff and all those good things, I just think he's a guy to keep a focus on. I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to mention him. And then the other players are A.J. Harris, and Deni Dennis Sutton, and I think there may be one more. I'm not sure, but it's a good group. And listen, hey, I want to really thank Penn State for having these availabilities. You know, James Franklin met with a few of us a couple years ago and said, "What would the best way? What would help you guys in terms of doing coverage?" And, you know, one of the things that was brought up from several reporters is having face-to-face access with players, even if it's after practice. And I think it's just been tremendous. And then making the coaches available was great. Making the transfer players available last week and A.J. Harris this week was great. So we've had a lot of good access this spring. And we didn't always have that, okay? And I think every once in a while, a lot of times people, including me, complain about access. But I think sometimes when things actually go right, you got to take a second and say, you know what, I appreciate this. So I do appreciate, and I think most reporters appreciate the access that we've had.
Well, appreciate the great work you do, Mark. Thanks so much, and thanks for all the time today. Appreciate it, and good luck with the recycling.
Absolutely. You'll hear. I'm glad it didn't rattle too much when we were on the air here. I'll look forward to seeing you later at practice, Steve. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark. The outstanding Mark Brennan, 247 Sports. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Neil Coulon today. No Matt Cotrillo today. I think he's on Thursday.
Yeah, Matt's on Thursday. He has, I think he has a game tonight for the cable channel, and tomorrow is Lisa's birthday.
Oh, geez. Every time I turn around, somebody's got a birthday, and the whole world stops.
It's the completely opposite of my family, too.
It's like when the suit. The suit was the first one I ever encountered like that. He goes, "I'm taking the day off." I said, "Why? It's my birthday." I'm like, I said, "Do you know how many games I've done on my birthday?" Really?
I end up with a lot of Legion games on mine.
Yeah. Like, okay. Well, hey, to each his own. Like I said, have fun. They had 8,411 at the ballpark yesterday for Solarfest.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites, indeed second to none, at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And of course, as always, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. the men's national championship game very similar in my mind to the women's national championship game. The better team beat the best player. Simple as that. The better team, okay, the best team beat the best player. Okay. And that's really kind of what it comes down to. It's simple. UConn moves the ball beautifully. I mean, beautifully. As we've talked about the entire time, their ball movement is exemplary. And even though they play at a more deliberate pace than last year, the reason they're playing at a deliberate pace is really quite simple. They are playing to get the best shot. And that's why, you know, the ball movement is critical, because they're not really playing slower. They're just, okay, this is, right, the best shot. That's what they're trying to get. And they do, for the most part, get the best shot. And then they go out, to their credit, right, and defensively, I mean, they were able to play Edie one-on-one with Klingon, which meant that the others on the floor for Purdue didn't have the usual openings and freedom, because somebody was not left uncovered because of a double. Now, they did some doubling in the second half. Some. But the ability to, for the most part, single Edie, and I know he had 37 last night, and I thought Edie played a good game, maybe not his grade A game, but probably B plus A minus. I thought he played actually pretty well last night. The guys around him didn't play well. And if you've heard me say it once, you probably now heard me say it a couple hundred times. All right? If you combine the free throw line with the 3-point line, normally you are going to get yourself a winner. And last night, now remember, who dominates the free throw line? Purdue. I gave the record on the show a couple of weeks ago. I think it was maybe last week. What their record was when they are better at the free throw line. In other words, have more attempts. Just not even percentage-wise. Just more attempts than the opponent. It's a ridiculous number. Ridiculous. But they only hit one 3-pointer last night. That was it. UConn hit 6. When that happens, you're okay, just on 3-pointers, you're plus 15. What was the final score? Plus 15. It's hard to win games in today's game 2-by-2. It's the way it is. That's why, for example, we've talked a lot about Caitlin Clark. Well, what makes her dynamic is she, you know, yeah, she can drive to the basket. She passes well. I mean, you know, and not just well. She's a great passer, right? But she hits enough threes where Iowa's not out there trying to win the game 2-by-2. Well, for Purdue last night, they had 23 two-point baskets. 23. And UConn hit 24 two-point baskets. The difference is they hit 6 threes. They were only 6 of 22, 27%. But Purdue only took 7. They were 1 of 7. You know, and that's because guys that are normally used to double Edie, UConn wasn't leaving their guy because Klingon, they felt for the most part, could hang in there and do it. And I thought that was the important part of the game. And again, for Edie, last game at Purdue, now we'll find out, let's face it, we'll find out what the NBA thinks of him. I've changed my mind a little bit. I thought he would not be drafted. I've said it on the show repeatedly. I don't think he's going to be drafted. And the but now I think there's going to be somebody out there that does take him. And I think it's going to be somebody who has multiple picks. In other words, I'm not going to take just the only pick I have to pick him. And that's where I look at where he could fit in at the next level. I mean, it's, but again, I watched him last night, and UConn gave him all. I mean, I know he scored 37. Again, I mean, I know what the end result is, and we have a tendency too often to look at the end result and don't take time to actually, like, look into what actually happened. I always use the Michael Finley example. But that's why I take a long look at some of this stuff. I'll never forget, I've given you the example of Michael Finley. One time he had 27 in rec hall, and I was like, wow, he had 27. And I go, he took 27 shots. Because when the game was over, I said, he really wasn't that good. And people looked at me like, what? It's like, no. There's a standard. You can't do that. And I think Edie had, what, 24 shots, 25 shots, 37 points. But they did a good job on him defensively. And he ended up being the only legitimate option they had. I mean, nobody else stepped up. Lance Jones didn't step up. Smith, Lawyer. I mean, I don't even know if Lawyer attended the game.
I was going to say, was he on the floor?
Jeez. I mean, talk about being invisible.
Well, he did get mad in the first half. I do know he was on the floor. He didn't like a call, and they went to him. But that was about the only time I saw him.
Yeah. And see, he is the kind of player at this stage of his career where if he is not effective shooting the ball, he's not really helping you. Like, everybody saw Connor Asijan, for example, of Wisconsin go into the transfer portal. Well, Asijan's a really good shooter. No getting around it. But if he's not hitting shots, he's not helping you. In some ways, he's hurting you. And that's the way certain players are. Now, again, I've got more in-depth scouting reports on players. I have access to more in-depth scouting reports on players than the fan does. So I totally understand that, because I know people will take a look at, well, what about this and what about that? It's like, there's some deficiencies there. That's why I think, for example, I don't really think anybody said to me much about, you know, when I was talking about Caitlin Clark and how she plays, because I just, like, to me, she's a player. Now, I want to go back to the great Bob Costas quote, because I think this applies to her. They asked Bob Costas about Jackie Robinson. And, of course, we're coming up on Jackie Robinson Day on Monday. And he said, was he the greatest player ever? No. Was he the most important player in the history of Major League Baseball? Yes. In women's basketball, we can have a healthy, fun-loving debate about whether she's the greatest women's basketball player of all time. Okay? And again, that for fun. I always love these debates where people get really mad. It's like, just take a look. Okay, nothing's going to change in life as to who wins the argument. All right? So just have fun with it. But we can debate whether she's the greatest player of all time, or, you know, is it Cheryl Miller? Is it Diana Taurasi? Is it Sue Bird? Is it, you know, Shamika Holzclaw? Is it Cheryl Swoops? I don't know. Right? And she's among the greats. But all those players who fought so hard in the women's game, fought hard for the women's game to gain an inch here, an inch there, an inch here, an inch there. She allowed the game in the last 18 months to gain yards. And she may go down as the most important player that the women's game has had. Then we can debate whether she's the best or not, just for fun. But she'll go down in that category of most important. Right when they needed her, they got her. Now we'll see whether it's sustainable. We talked about that. And the men's game, look, the women's rating will end up being higher than the men's rating, in part because of her, because of the groundswell, the fact it was on over-the-air TV on ABC, that was big. And the men's game was on TBS. Yeah. And look, a low post game is not as fun as the three-point game. The three-point game is a lot of fun to watch. It's a lot of fun to broadcast. Because basketball has gone in stages. Big men dominated. Then when Larry Bird and Magic came in, suddenly team basketball finally emerged and made the game exponentially better. When Jordan was there, the dunk was really popular among people. And then when Steph Curry came in, it was the long shot. Well, in the women's game, who is the expert at the long shot? I mean three-point shots. I mean the long shot. It's Caitlin Clark. And people loved it. Now, does anybody exist in that game now they can do it? No. They have three-point shooters, but not like that. Not like that.
I was trying to find the number. I couldn't quite find it, but I read somewhere this morning that the pregame for Sunday got 2.6 million. And that would be the highest drawing women's basketball game up until 3 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
she drug them, or she brought them a long way in a short time.
Oh, no question. I mean, I don't know what you learned out of the pregame, but that's all right. It's a different story.
I was not one of the people that watched the pregame, no.
I know I didn't. I don't watch pregame, halftime, postgame, unless, to be honest with you, when Barkley's on, I do. Right? First of all, Barkley's really smart, but Barkley's entertaining as heck. And he's entertaining. I don't care what anybody, you don't have to personally like him or whatever, but that son of a gun's a lot of fun. Right? And something happened here yesterday. I was only over at it briefly. And that was, they had Solar Fest over at the ballpark here. You want to know how many people showed up for that thing? The place seats 5,600. They had 8,411. And it was cloudy.
So you guys didn't get to see it out there either?
Oh, no, I didn't see it. Well, you know what? Ironically, right when the show ended yesterday, Jack called. So I was on the phone with him while it was going on. I kind of looked outside, and it didn't really even, like, it just looked like a really deep, cloudy day here.
But the clouds never broke here, so we didn't even see it here in central, this part of central Pennsylvania.
Well, I was talking about corners, defensive ends, and wide receivers during that particular time, so I was like, which was a lot more fun conversation for me. But that brings me to my point about just very quickly about that, and that is, you want to know why 8,411 people were there yesterday? They just wanted to have fun. And people know I talk about this all the time. It's okay to have fun. Hey, every time I turn around, something is so serious. Oh, earth-shattering, groundbreaking. Hey, big words. Hey. You know what? It's okay to be serious when it's time to be serious. Okay? And there are times, there are certain things that you have to be serious about. But goodness gracious, it is okay to go out and have a blast and have fun. Those people went out yesterday. It was cloudy, so what? They had fun. They had fun. The blue-white game is going to be on Saturday. Looks like the weather's going to be pretty good, which is a great break. And guess what? Bring your family out. Have some fun. Olympic trials are here next weekend. Well, hopefully you got a ticket. Go in and have some fun. All right? Luke Combs is here the week after that. Have some fun. It's all different kinds of fun for different people. But that's... It's okay. It's better in life if you're just laughing and having a good time. Well, not only the blue-white game, we have the Paterno run on Sunday. The weather of both days is going to be good. You know? I heard that Sue commercial about, if you're trying to get rid of pain. He wasn't the right person to do that. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
when car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai. North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Should be the song you play as you go to Brewer's Outlet. Yeah. All right. How about that? Huh? Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. All right. Soft drinks, snacks, lots of snacks, man. Wine coolers. Roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Second to none. Six great flavors of slushy. So much good stuff. Yeah. So here we are now. We're in this period. It's the Blue-White Week. James will meet with the media tonight. And then, of course, there was the rundown that Mark gave us as to who's going to be available tonight. And tomorrow night we have the talk show. James will be on the first half hour tomorrow night. Second half hour is Mark Pavlik. And the and then there's a quarterback club in Haluba Hall on Thursday. So I might be a little late Thursday. We'll see. We have Andy Koltunicki and Tom Allen, three players, and James. So I have to ask a lot of questions.
That is a lot of people for a quarterback club, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Hey, but you know what? They're trying to do something that's fun and special, so it's up to us to make it fun and special and informative and see what people get out of it. Yeah. And then Fridays, you know, they'll have Fast Friday. That'll be after the show. But really, Friday, to be honest with you, I got the show and I'm going to go to that. I don't have much to do Friday. I'm good. And Saturday's the game. We're going to actually start at 1:45 on Saturday. The broadcast, the scrimmage will start just after 2 o'clock. Mark's right. They have, when you have a deep roster like this, and this is not a pared down spring roster. This is a pretty deep roster. There's a lot of players, so they can run this like a regular game. And we'll find out from James tonight exactly what he wants to do with that element of it. But yeah, that's a We get to this, then of course the Masters is later this week too. At Augusta. There's nothing like sitting back on a, you know, I'll get home from the scrimmage and I'll watch the Masters, and then I will get home from the paternal run because I have to MC that on Sunday morning. And at some point there will be some Masters time in there.
I That's one place that I've always wanted to go to that I just have not been lucky enough to get to yet.
The 1 year I was all set, we had plane trouble and couldn't go.
Oh.
Yep. Yep.
I was going to say, my buddy, a friend of mine waited, him and his dad wanted to go. They got in the lottery 15 years before they got tickets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I mean, because Jack and I were going to go down on this guy's plane, and plane trouble, couldn't go. Brutal.
Talk about getting your hopes up and snatched away.
Mole Man was going to go too. And if anybody could have willed that plane in the air, it would be him.